Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Mem Hey Mun Aleph. The Gemara is continuing to discuss our Mishnah. Here, the Gemara is up to the differences between the Ktoret on a weekday and the Ktoret on Yom HaKippurim. Chol Yom HaKippurim Pras B'Shacharit U'Pras V'Arvit. Every day, he used to put half of it on in the morning, half of it in the afternoon. That's the daily Ktoret. And then on Yom HaKippurim, he brings in a Melo Kofnayim. He brings in a fistful of Ketoret, an additional Ketoret that goes with Lifnayim Lifnim. Chol Yom Hayta Daka. Every day it was fine. Hayom Daka Min HaDaka. And today the Torah was super fine. Tan Rabbanan Daka. Ma Talmud Lomar. Why does the Torah tell us by the Ketoret of Yom HaKippurim? It says, with regards to this Ketoret, V'lakach Melo Machta Gach Le'esh Me'al HaMizbeach Mifnei Hashem. U'melo Chofnav Ketoret Samim Daka. Ve'vi Mibet LaParochet. Why is there a specification of Daka by the Ketoret of Yom HaKippurim? Bokva Ne'amar. There's a general requirement with regards to the Ketoret from Sefer Shmot, v'shachakta mimena hadik. The processing of the Ketoret requires that it be dak. So why is there another reference to Daka here in Yom HaKippurim? That comes to teach you, el alavi daka mina daka, that over here it has to be super fine. So what is fine the rest of the year has to be super fine on Yom HaKippurim, and that's what we say in the Pitom HaKetoret, but we say that they made enough for 368 days, 365 Keneged Yomot HaChama, and the three additional that they made was used to refine until it was the fine Ketoret for Yom HaKippurim. They processed it and processed it till it became the amount they needed for Yom HaKippurim. So that's the fineness that we're speaking about. Next it says, V'chol Yom Kohanim Olim B'Mizracho Shel Kevesh. And every day they used to go up the ramp on the eastern side of the ramp. Damar Mar. Because we have this principle called Pinocha Taponelo Yuele Derech Yamin. That when you have a choice of directions to pick, you always go to the right side. So for instance, when you take the Torah out of the Aron, you walk on the right side towards the Bima. And when you take it back, you walk on the right side back towards the Aron. So similarly over here, by the ramp of the Mizbeach, when you went up the ramp, you went up on the right side, which is Mizrach, the eastern side. The word Mizrach here is relevant in our situation because the ramp is on the southern side of the Mizbeach. So the right of the ramp is east, is Mizrach. So here it mentions Mizrach. In other situations, that may not be the case, but in this case it is that way. So they used to go up the eastern side of the ramp so that they did not cross the ramp unnecessarily. They walked up the ramp on the right, then they continued up and went around the Mizbeach. They followed around either the Sovev or the top of the Mizbeach, wherever they had to go. And they came around on the right side and then descended the ramp on the western side of the ramp. They always stayed towards the right. That's the etiquette in general. When you're walking, you're going on staircases, anywhere you go, you always stay to the right. Everybody stays on the right side. So here, the Gemara says that that was the process, that's the daily activities in the Mikdash were that way. V'ayom, today, ole be'emtza ve'yored be'emtza, that's one girsa. The alternative girsa depends on what girsa you had in the Mishnah would be, v'ayom olim be'emtza ve'yoredim be'emtza, depends whether it's referencing the Kohen Gadol, or is it referencing the Kohanim, the regular Kohanim on that day. But either way, it's telling you that on Yom HaKippurim, you walk up the middle of the ramp. Gemara says, why is that? My time, mamushim kvodo the Kohen Gadol. Because of the kvod of the Kohen Gadol, you walk up the middle of the ramp. Now we saw before that there's a machloket in the Mishnah as to when this happened. Is this only on Yom Kippur for the Kohen Gadol? Or is this daily for the Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol always walks up the middle of the ramp. And mamushim kvodo the Kohen Gadol can have two aspects to it. It can be the Kohen Gadol himself. It's the kvod for the position of the Kohen Gadol. And that's why he would do it every day, not just on Yom HaKippurim. The other side might be that the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, there he walks up the middle of the ramp, because it's not only reflective of the unique position of the Kohen Gadol, but the unique standing of Klal Yisrael on Yom HaKippurim, that they're able to walk straight up the middle of the ramp. That's the chibah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Bnei Yisrael, the unique standing of Bnei Yisrael. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol is entitled to walk up the middle of the ramp. So depending whether you think it's just on Yom Kippur, or you think it's all year round, which is a machloket in the Mishnah as to whether the Kohen Gadol is granted that kavod. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, Olam Kohen Gadol lo b'emtza v'yored b'emtza. So Yehuda says that it's always that way, although the Tanna Kamma says it's only on Yom HaKippurim. And then on Yom Kippur itself, there's a machloket in the Girsa, most of the Girsa that it refers to the Kohen Gadol. The Rambam has a Girsa that indicates that it's dealing with the other Kohanim. The Kohanim that accompany the Kohen Gadol go up the middle. The Kohanim that are helping the Kohen Gadol, they go up the middle as well. It's unique to the day of Yom Kippur, not just to the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. Chol Yom Kohen Gadol mekadesh yadav ragalav min ha-kiyor. So every day the Kohen Gadol washes his hands from the kiyor. On Yom Kippur, he washes it from kaiton shel zahav. He washes it out of a gold utensil. My time, huh? Once again, it's because of the kavod of the Kohen Gadol. Here again, you'll have multiple reasons. On Yom Kippur itself, because of the uniqueness of the day, he washes out of the golden vessel. But also, we have the chusha shel Kohen Gadol. We want him to walk less, to move around less. And since you can wash out of anything that's a Kli Sharet, we may as well facilitate it that he can do it out of a Kli Sharet, a nice Kli Sharet, in order to not have him to have to go back to the Kiyur all the time. Additionally, they have Rabbi Yehuda's opinion again that he did this every day. That this was not unique to Yom HaKippurim, but rather unique to the Kohen Gadol. Again, the standing of the Kohen Gadol demands that you treat him differently than the average Kohen, and therefore he washed out of a golden utensil every day. Chol Yom Ayu Sham Arba Marachot. So this comes to the latter half of the Mishnah, the Machloket that we had over there. In addition, this is something that the Gemara has taken for granted almost all the way along, is the idea that there are pyres on the Mizbeach. Number one, that there are pyres, and number two is the number of pyres, which is that there's an additional pyre that's added on Yom HaKippurim. We saw that in the Mishnah, we had a three-way machloket as to what is the standard default number of pyres on the Mizbeach. But everybody agreed, on Yom Kippur, you added in an additional pyre, that is to provide the coals for the Ketoret that's taken Lifnai V'Lifnim. That we'll discuss the source for that, but that everybody agrees to. The question is, what's the standard number of marachot that are there? So we had a three-way machloket in our Mishnah. Gemara here quotes the Tosefta that expands on that machloket, which is Tan Rabbanan. Chol yom ayu shtayim marachot, vayom shalosh. In general, there were two pyres on the Mizbeach. Today, there were three. What are the two on the daily basis? Chad maracha gedola, that's the central or the main pyre. V'chad maracha shniya shel ketoret. And the secondary pyre was for the coals to provide for the toret that you put on the mizbech hazahav. So those were the two pyres that you had on a daily basis. V'achad shemusufim bo bayom. And the additional one for Yom Kippur. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. For Rabbi Yehuda believes on a daily basis you had two pyres. On Yom Kippur you have three pyres. Yeah, the Mizbech HaZahav has no pyre on it. So the Mizbech HaZahav, you take the coals from the Mizbech HaChitzon and you bring them onto the Mizbech HaZahav. V'yosi Omer, b'chol yom shalosh. Daily basis, you have three pyres on the Mizbech HaChitzon. V'yom arba, and today four. What are the three that you have on a daily basis? Achad shel maracha gedola. Again, the main central pyre. Achad shel maracha shniya shel ketoret. That he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda with. Achad shel kiyum ha'esh. He has an additional pyre, which is the Esh Tamid, that'll be on the Mizbeach. That's to be a permanent fire that's on the Mizbeach, so there's a separate pyre for that. And the additional one for Yom HaKippurim. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi, on a daily basis, has three pyres. On Yom HaKippurim, he has four pyres. Rabbi, whether there's a Girsa Meir or not, later on in the Gemara, it sounds like there is Rabbi Meir here. Tosefta doesn't necessarily have it. But Rabbi Meir Omer, b'chol yom arba, there were four, b'yom chamesh, and today there were five. So what are the four? Achad shel maracha gedola, the main central pyre, achad shel maracha shniya shel ketoret, the second one which is the ketoret, that's the common denominator between all three opinions. They all agree that there's a maracha gedola, the central pyre, and maracha shniya shel ketoret. He adds on, v'achad shel kiyum ha'esh, similar to Rabbi Yossi, he has the additional one for esh tamid, v'chad le'ivarim v'darim shelo nitaklu mi'ba'erev. So he says they have additional pyre there for the Evarim of Durim that were not eaten up, consumed overnight. So they have to be put back onto the pyre in the morning. They don't go on the main pyre, they go onto their own pyre in the morning to keep them burning on the Mizbeach. And the additional one for Yom Kippur. So for him, on a standard day, you have four pyres on the Mizbeach. And the extra one that you put on for Yom Kippur makes it that you have five pyres. Everybody agrees. That's a common denominator between them is Maracha Gdola and the Maracha Shniya Shel Ketoret. Min Olon. Where do we know this from? Damar Kura, the Pasuk says in the beginning of Parshat Tzav, V'idvei Hashem Moshe Lemor, Tzav et Rom V'etnav Lemor, Zot Rat Ola, Hi Ha'ola Al Mokda, HaMizbech V'Lalayla Reboker, V'esh HaMizbech Tukad Bo. So the word Mokda and Tukad are used in the Pasuk. They mean a fire or a pyre. So therefore the Gemara darshans from that Pasuk, for the first one, the al-mogda, that you put the ola on the moked, on the pyre, that moked is the maracha gdola, that's the central pyre. Veish ha-mizbeach dukad bo, that dukad, comes to you, zu maracha shniya shel ketoret. That's the second maracha of ketoret. To tell you that you need a separate pyre for the coals that are provided for the mizbeach hazav to put on the ketoret. Okay, so your question is a valid question. In the Mikdash, there was no question that they had room to do this because the top of the Mizbeach was very large, right? There's an area there of space that it starts out at the base of 32 by 32. By the time that you get up to the top of Mizbeach, it's 28 by 28, but then you have other things there. But the central part of the Marocha has plenty of space, about 24 by 24, molot on the top of the Mizbeach, to put on these pyres. Huge area on the top. You have plenty of room for the pyres. Your question is valid with regards to the Mizbeach and Nechoshet. Mizbeach and Nechoshet only had an amah and amah for its Marocha. That the central area where they put the stuff on, there was only one amah by one amah. How do you get all these pyres on there? So Tosafot mentions that he thinks that they might have had to use the Makom Raglei Kohanim, the place where the Kohanim walked, and the outer spaces on that Marocha, because otherwise in Mizbeach Nechoshet you have a hard time putting all the pyres on. The Gemara says that the logs were exactly the right size to fit across the Mizbeach Nechoshet. They were an amah long. That means that the main Marocha took up, main pyre took up the whole center of the Mizbeach Nechoshet. So there your question is valid. Do they have room? And then Tosafot says, yeah, they squeezed it around the sides and they put it in. The Mizbeach and the Mikdash have plenty of room to do it, and probably excess space even to do it. Okay, now Rabbi Yossi, Kiyuma Eish Minole. Now Rabbi Yossi says that in addition to the two main pyres, he has a separate pyre for the Eish, Nafkale, Meveha Eish, Ala Mizbeach Tukad Bo, Lo Tichbeh. Ve'erlea Kohen Itzim Baboka Baboka, Ve'achala Ola, Ve'erlea Chaveh Shlamim. So he adds it on from that extra Tukad, comes to teach you that there's an additional fire that has to be on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with that? He doesn't have a third pyre, but he has that pasuk, so what is he going to do with that? Ha'ul atzatat avita huda'ata. That comes to teach you about the kindling for lighting the pyres. So you would think that you could light the kindling down on the ground, and then you take the kindling up to the mizbeach, and then you light the pyre with that lit kindling. What the pasuk comes to teach you is, va'ish al ha-mizbeach tukad bo. When you light the fire, it's got to be on the mizbeach. So when you start the kindling, it's got to be on the Mizbeach itself. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda uses that for. Rabbi Yehuda says that pasuk that you're using to teach you that you need another pyre, I think teaches you that you have to do the kindling on the Mizbeach. That's why it says ala Mizbeach. Tanya, haya Rabbi Yehuda omer minayin latzatat alita shlotehei ala brosho shel Mizbeach. How do you know that the lighting of the kindling is only on the top of the Mizbeach? Tamal omar, v'aish al ha-Mizbeach tukad bo. Now, Amar Rabbi Yossi minayin shoseh maracha dekiyum ha'ish. So where do you know that from? Tamud Omar va'ish ala mizbeach tukad bo. So that's where he learns it from. Rabbi Yossi hatzatat alita minale. Rabbi Yossi uses that pasuk to teach him about the third pyre that's for the kiyum ha'ish. So where does he get this idea that you have to do the kindling on top of the mizbeach? The nafkalei mehecha de nafkalei Rabbi Shimon. He's going to get it from the same place where Rabbi Shimon gets it, the Tanya. It says, V'natnu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen eish al mizbeach. So back in Vayikra Aleph, it says over there that the Kohanim will put an eish al mizbeach. They made al hatzatat alita shlo te'ele b'Kohen kasher u'b'kli sharet. Ivrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda learns from that the hatzat alita, first of all, has to be with a Kohen. Number two, it has to be done with a kli sharet. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, v'chi ta'leh al da'at chosh ezar karev l'gabei mizbeach. We discussed this back on Chav Dalet when we discussed this. What do you think, that a Zayar is going to go up on the Mizbeach and do it? What do you need a pasuk to tell you that a Kohen is going on the Mizbeach? It's automatic. We know that. Rashi quotes a pasuk from Bamidbar. Actually has to do with yesterday's daf, which is, it says in Bamidbar Yudchet, it says, Ach el Gvi HaKodesh el Mizbeach lo yikarvu. Bnei Yisrael are not allowed to go onto the Mizbeach and not allowed to touch the Kli Sharet. That's after the incident with Adad Korach. And then Bnei Yisrael complained that they, Adlama Yimitim Edam Hashem, why'd you kill him? Then there's a plague amongst Bnei Yisrael, and after that, there are all these instructions to the Kohanim about keeping people away from the Kodesh and away from the Mishkan. It's dangerous. You can't just go in whenever you want. So over there, Rashi quotes that as the source for the fact that a Zayar just doesn't go willy-nilly onto the Mizbeach. So if that's the case, why do I need a pasuk to teach me that a Kohen does it? Rabbi Shimon uses that pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda uses to teach you Kohen and Kli Sharet. He says Kohen and Kli Sharet are a given. You're going on the top of the Mizbeach. You don't need a pasuk for that. That's a given. So then what is the pasuk for? To teach you that you must light the kindling on the Mizbeach. So he argues on Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi over here, who needs to have the kindling on top of the Mizbeach, where's his source? His source is like Rabbi Shimon. He used that pasuk from Vayikra Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda, imi hatam, if you use that pasuk from Vayikra Aleph, hava mina kari a'ara, vavi b'mapucha. What's your issue? Your issue is that Israel can't go on the Mizbeach. I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll stand down below, have a long stick with a bellow on the top. And he'll start the fire from down below. He won't go on the Mizbeach. He'll be able to kindle the fire from above with a bellow without ever going on to the Mizbeach or ascending the Mizbeach. So I don't think your proof is a good proof that you need a Kohen to do it. I need a pasuk for a Kohen because otherwise Yisrael can do it without going on the Mizbeach. So that's how he argues on Rabbi Shimon. Obviously, Kamash Malon, that pasuk tells you Kohen. Whereas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi will learn that pasuk to teach you the kindling must be done on Mizbeach. Ve'Rabbi Meir, the third opinion, which is that there's that fourth pyre, which is Evarim Ubdarim Shlonit Akalumi Ba'erev Minole. Where does he get that? That the Evarim Ubdarim that are left overnight that he has to put on? Napkele Mive'ish. Turns it out for the extra Vav. Ve'ish. So that Vav teaches you that there's a extra limud out of the Vav to teach you another pyre, a fourth pyre. And where it says, Rabbanan Vavlo Darshi, Rabbanan being the other opinions, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, they do not learn this Vav, and therefore they don't have a fourth one. Virabbanan Evarim Ubdarim Shalun Taklu Me'erev Mayavidahu. According to the Rabbanan, what do you do with those items that were left overnight? I mean, all those limbs that didn't get burnt up. Rabbi Meir provides for an additional marachah in the morning. You put them on that separate fire. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, what do you do with those items in the morning? He says, Mahadul hu marachah gdola, no problem. Put them back on the main pyre. So you clear off all that stuff from the mizbeach. You restart the main pyre. You do the marachah gdola again. And then you put those items back on to the main pyre. Titania. Minayin levarim b'dorim shalun yitaklu mebe'eriv. How do I know those evarim ubdarim, those limbs and sinews that were not consumed at night, that you put them around the mizbeach, if there's not enough space in the mizbeach, that you put them on the ramp, or on the area that you walk around the mizbeach, until you build the maracha gdola, and then you put them back on. The pasuk says, asher tochala ish et ha'ola la mizbeach. Pasuk says, "V'lavash shogay midobad u'michnesei bari bashab sero ve'rim et adeshen asher tochal ha'esh et ha'ola al ha'mizbeach v'samo etz ha'mizbeach." So that's by the chumat adeshen. But what you see from here is asher tochal ha'esh et ha'ola al ha'mizbeach. And as Rashi says over here, "Meinu inyan letchilata." We don't need to tell you that you need the maracha gdola for the ola. That you already have from the pasuk, because it says ha'ola al ha'mokda. We already learned that from the beginning of that parshia. That Ola goes on the Moked, goes on the Maracha Gdola. So why do I have another puzzle that says, Asher tochal ha'esh et ha'ola al-mizbeach, that you put the Ola back on the Mizbeach? Well, it's already on the Mizbeach. It's already on the Maracha Gdola. So if it's not about the initial placement of the Ola on the Mizbeach, we're going to use it for the residual placement of it on the Mizbeach to teach you that the residual items that need to be burned, they go back on the Moked. They go back on to the Maracha Gdola. Rabbi Meir, Ikule Ola ata machzir. That pasuk comes to teach you a different din, which is, what happens if something pops off the fire? I mean, that you're burning things, you know, many times when you burn things on a fire, they pop and they shoot off the fire, they fly off the fire. So it's a possibility here of these limbs or items that were placed on the fire popping up during the night. Do you have to return them? So Rabbi Meir learns from this pasuk that ikulei ola, things that were placed on from a korban ola, ata machzir, that you have to put back on. If they pop off the fire, you have to put them back on. Whereas ketoret that was burnt on the fire, if it, for whatever reason, pops off, you don't have to replace on the fire. How does he know that? He learns that from that same pasuk, which is, asher tochal ha'esh et ha'ola. The ola has to be replaced onto the esh, al mizbeach, but otherwise, you don't have to replace things onto the mizbeach. Tetani. Reb Chananya bar Mnume b'debei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Asher tochal ha'esh et ha'ola al mizbeach. Ikulei ola ata makzir, v'yata makzir ikulei ketoret. So we have that braita that teaches us a similar din to what we saw in Rabbi Meir, which is this pasuk teaches you what you have to replace onto the mizbeach, but not that you have to have a separate pyre for the residual of the ola. So again, now, just to review, we have the three opinions, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which is that you have the maracha gdola, maracha shnia shel ketoret, that everybody agrees to, and that's based on the first psukim here, which is zotarat ola, hi ola la mokda, al mizbeach ola layla, ad aboker, la mokeid, is maracha gdola, beish to mizbeach, tukat bo, that tukat comes to teach you, that the maracha shnei ashel ketoret. Everybody has that. Then we had the additional pasuk later on, which says, Beish al mizbeach tukad bo lo techbeh. That pasuk is used by Rabbi Yosef to teach us about the third maracha, which is the kiyum ha'esh on the mizbeach. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda uses that for that the kindling has to be done on the mizbeach. So Rabbi Yosef learns out kindling of the mizbeach from the pasuk in Vayikra Aleph that says that there you place it, Eish al mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda uses that to teach you need a Kohen. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't need that. No Yisrael goes up on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, maybe you can do it from down below. Therefore, I do need a Pasuk. Then we had Rabbi Meir's opinion, who has all of those of Rabbi Yossi plus the fourth pyre. He learned that out from the extra vav. That vav comes to teach you that there's an additional pyre for the parts of the olah to go on the mizbeach. Then, how do we know what you do with the leftover pieces of the evarim and pudarim? That we know from the pasuk that says, by the deshen asher tuchal eishet olah al mizbeach. So that olah has to go on the mizbeach. We already know the olah goes on the moked on the mizbeach. So why do I have it again? To teach you that whatever is residual gets put on the marachat gdolah. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, no, that comes to teach you that only things that belong to the olah that pop off have to be put back on. But the things from the ketoret do not need to be put back on. Okay, so now we're good so far. Now the Gemara says, everybody agrees, on that day we add on an additional pyre. So minalahu, where do they know that? Naflagu, they learned that out, miveha esh. Because the pasuk says, veha esh. So even though not everybody agrees that the vav, that extra vav we use to learn the din of Rabbi Meir, that you have to have another pyre, everybody agrees, veha, vav and hey, when you have an extraneous letters like that, then everybody agrees that we are doreshit. That's what the Gemara says, naflagu miveha esh, afilu mantalo doresh vav, Vav hey dorish. Even if you're not dorish hey vav, they are dorish vav hey. Eish tamid l'mayato. So then, what does eish tamid come? That's the last pasuk in this parshia. It says, eish tamid tukad al mizbeach lo techbe. So since you're darshaning every moke tukad in this parsha, that final pasuk, which says, eish tamid tukad al mizbeach lo techbe, what do you do with it? Where it says, vayle de ketanya, you need it for this braita. Eish tamid tukad al mizbeach lo techbe. It comes to teach you that the marachah shniyah shel ketoret is made on the mizbeach hachitzon and not on the mizbeach hazahav. Right, the Gra does have an alternative girsa here. The Gra here is asking about the pasuk beisha mizbeach tukad vo, which is earlier on.
Regular ketoret.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have both of them. On Yom Kippur, you both have the normal ketoret, aprash b'shachrit, pras b'ravit, and then you have to do the dishun, mizbeach apnimi, is part of the avoda, which is you clean off the coals from the previous time the ketoret was there, and then you put the new coals on. So each time they went, they put on new coals for it. So in a regular day, that second pyre provided the coals in the morning for the ketoret and the afternoon for the ketoret. The extra pyre this take use provides the coals for going lifnai lifnim with the ketoret of Yom HaKippurim. They were put on the pan inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim on the Eben HaShtiyah, right in front of the Aron on the floor. So here we learn at Esh Tamid Tugad al Mizbeach Lo Techbe. The Gra changes the pasuk here and learns it from the Esh Tinsbeach Tukad Bo, which is the source for the Maracha V'Shniyah Shel Ketoret. And he says that Esh teaches you that it has to be on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Right now, Eish machta u'menorah minayin. How we know that the fire for the pan on Yom Kippur and the fire for the menorah, the pan and the menorah, that they have to take their fire from the mizbeach hachitzon. For instance, to light the menorah. Where do you get the fire to light the menorah from? We get it from the mizbeach hachitzon. You take the fire from there and you light the wicks from that area. Where do you get the Eish of Yom HaKippurim of Lifnai V'Lifnim? How do you know that all of those things are taken from the Mizbeach HaChitzon? V'dinu, Nemra Eish B'Ketoret, V'Nemra Eish B'Machta. It says Eish by the Ketoret, which is, according to Rashi, it says Ziktiv Yaktirena. It says Yaktirena, V'en Aktara below Eish. It says by the Ketoret you have to be Maktiret. You can only be Maktiret with Eish. So the Ketoret, we know the Eish for the Ketoret is found on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, because we just learned that from the Pasuk in Parshat Tzav. So Rashi says, how do we know there's Eish by the Ketoret? That's because of Yaktireno. On the other hand, Tosafot learns it out from Yadat Korach. It says, Atav Aron Ish Machtakto Tnu Behen Eish V'Simo Le Ketoret. That the Machtot that they use for Korach to test who is the real Kohen Gadol, says, well, you take a pan and then you put fire in it and Ketoret. So you see that the Ketoret involves Eish, fire. So now Eish by Ketoret, B'Nere Eish B'Machta, Umi Menorah. And there's a fire by the Machta and the Menorah. Malahalana Mizbeach Hitzon, just like by the Ketoret, we know it's on the Mizbeach Hitzon, because that's the Maracha Shniyah Shel Ketoret. V'avkan al Mizbeach Hitzon, so too the Machta for Yom HaKippurim, and the Menorah on the daily lighting, that comes off of the Mizbeach Hitzon. That's what you would think. So you have three items that you're taking off the Mizbeach Hitzon. You're taking off the daily coals for the Ketoret, that we know from the Pasuk, that's found in Parshat Tzav. That's the Machta. Then that's the Eish, the daily Eish that you take in. Then you have the Machta of Yom HaKippurim and the menorah that you light the wicks from, where do you know that that comes off the Mizbeach HaChitzon? So Gemara says, we'll draw a parallel. Just like the fire is written by Ketoret, and there's a fire written by the Torah of Yom HaKippurim and by the menorah. So we'll correlate all the fires and say they all source from the same place, which is the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Oklach b'derech zu. Or maybe you should go the other way. Nemra Eish b'Ktoret v'Nemra Eish b'Machta. It says Eish by the Ktoret, and it says Eish by the Machta u'Menorah. Malahalan b'Samuch lo. Just like by the Ktoret for the Mizbeach HaZav, on a daily basis, you do it in the closest location to it. Aftachta u'Menorah b'Samuch lo. So too for the Ktoret of Yom Kippur and the Menorah, you'll take it from the closest place. What's the closest place to the menorah and the Torah for Yom HaKippurim? That's Mizbeach HaZahav. So for the Mizbeach HaZahav, the closest source of fire is the Mizbeach HaChitzon. But once you already have coals on the Mizbeach HaZahav, the source of fire that would be closest to the menorah would be the Mizbeach HaZahav. And for the flying thing to take the Torah and Yom HaKippurim, that would also be the Mizbeach HaZahav. Tamal Omar, Eish Tamid Tugad al Mizbeach Lo Tichbeh. So that teaches you, Eish Tamid Shemarti Lecha Lo Te'el Baroshosho Mizbeach HaChitzon. The Eish Tamid, that fire that I said about it, that it'd be tamid. By the menorah, it says, la'alot ner tamid. That tamid is going to be on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. That's why the Gra wants to change the girsa before to say the source of Marcha Shnei Shel Kedoret on Mizbeach HaChitzon is the Eish HaMizbeach Tuchad Bo. Then the pasuk at the end of the parasha that says, Eish Tamid Kono Mizbeach Lo Tichbeh, that's for the menorah, to teach you about the menorah. The way that we have in our girsa, both items are learnt out from that pasuk. One is learned out, that's the Eish Tugad al Mizbeach Lo Tichbeh, and then Eish Tamid, the addition of the word Tamid, teaches about the menorah. Eish Tamid Shemarti L'Chalo Te'el HaBeroshosho Mizbeach HaChitzon. That Eish Tamid will only be on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So Labanu Eish L'Menorah. So now we know about the menorah. Eish L'Machta Minayim. How we know about the Eish on Yom HaKippurim? Bidinhu. Nemra Eish B'Machta V'Nemra Eish B'Menorah. Says Eish by the Machta that you take in on Yom HaKippurim. V'Lakach M'lo Machta Gachalei Eish. So it says Eish there, v'nemra Eish b'menorah. And by the menorah, it says also that you have to light the neirot. So ma lahalan al gabi mizbeach chitzon, just like the menorah is in the mizbeach chitzon, afkana mizbeach chitzon. Oh, maybe no. V'ach l'derech zu, nemra Eish b'ktoret, v'nemra Eish b'machta. Maybe you should compare the ktoret of Yom Kippur to the ktoret of daily. Ma lahalan b'sol mulchlo, just like the daily ktoret comes from the closest location, which is mizbeach chitzon, afkana b'sol mulchlo, which will come from the mizbeach zav. Tamal Omar, Lakach, Mlo Amachta Gach Leish, Mi Alha Mizbeach, Mifnei Hashem. You have to take it off the Mizbeach, that is, Lifnei Hashem. Ezu Mizbeach, Shem Mitzato Lifnei Hashem. If you say HaMizbeach Lifnei Hashem, then it's defining the Mizbeach. So if you say Mizbeach Lifnei Hashem, it means the Mizbeach, that is Lifnei Hashem. When you say Mi Lifnei Hashem, it means from Mi Lifnei Hashem. That preposition teaches you that it's not the entire Mizbeach, but a portion, where a portion of the Mizbeach is Mi Lifnei Hashem. The entire Mizbeach is not Lifnei Hashem. So from the Med Lifnei, they learn out that it's not the entire Mizbeach Lifnei Hashem, but rather only a portion of the Mizbeach Lifnei Hashem. The Mizbeach HaZav is always Lifnei Hashem. It sits in the Kodesh, and it's in the center of the Kodesh. So it's sitting right Lifnei Hashem. It's permanently Lifnei Hashem. So why would you tell me about a Mizbeach Lifnei Hashem as if there is a part of the Mizbeach that's not Lifnei Hashem? So v'ein kulo Lifnei Hashem. Which Mizbeach has a portion Lifnei Hashem, but not entirely Lifnei Hashem? V'mer zeh Mizbeach HaChitzon. This is the outer Mizbeach. So now what does that mean, Lifnei Hashem? There could be different readings of Lifnei Hashem. We have this in other places. Does Lifnei Hashem mean only those areas that face the doorway? The door opening, whether it's of the Heichal or of the Ulam, into the Kodesh or the Kodesh HaKodeshim, those are considered to be Lifnei Hashem? Or is Lifnei Hashem a directional indicator? So for instance, if you say Pnei HaMizbeach, the face of the Mizbeach is on the south. Lifnei Hashem is the western side of the Mizbeach. Because the western side of Mizbeach is the closest to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Abyomir zeh Mizbeach HaChitzon. But that's not all Lifnei Hashem. Either because there are other directions, you have a north, south, and east, or because it's not all opposite the doorway. Not the entire Mizbeach is bigger, is wider than the entire doorway that leads in. So no matter what, it's not all Lifnei Hashem. The entire Mizbeach can't be classified as Lifnei Hashem. V'itzrich l'michtav me'ala Mizbeach. V'itzrich l'michtav Lifnei Hashem. It has to teach you with regards to the Ketoret of Yom HaKippurim that you take it v'lakach mo machtag achleish eish mi'al ha-mizbeach mi'lifnei Hashem. Dik div rachmanam al ha-mizbeach. You just told me ha-mizbeach ha-vamina my mizbeach mizbeach ha-vamini. I would thought if you just wrote mizbeach, that's mizbeach ha-zahav. So therefore, Ketov rachmanam lifnei Hashem. So it teaches you lifnei Hashem to teach you which mizbeach. That's mizbeach ha-chitom. That the only place you can take it from is directly opposite the doorway, the entranceway to the Kodesh HaKodesh HaKodeshim. That's where the Lifnei Hashem is. Aval mihai giso mihai giso emalo. But to the north or the south of that area, you would not be able to take it. Tzricha, and therefore I have the pasuk that says me'al mizbeach. From anywhere on the mizbeach that is classified as Lifnei Hashem. That means the directional side. Anywhere on the western side of the mizbeach suffices to take the coals from. So they don't have to be Lifnei Hashem directly. They don't have to be lined up at the doorway into the Heichal or the Ulam. They can be anywhere along the western edge of the Mizbeach. You can take the fire from there to take it into the Ketoret for Lifnei Hashem. So that tension of Me'al HaMizbeach and Lifnei Hashem, between the two of them, we learn that first of all, we're talking about the Mizbeach HaChitzon. And number two is, on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, we only take from the western side of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, not only directly opposite the doorway, and not from the Mizbeach HaZav that is internal, which is always Lifnei Hashem. Okay, we'll stop over here.